Ramsey TV.
The question I pose to you this morning is, how will we feel right before the snatching away? The short answer is, like crap. I'll let that sink in a little bit while the music runs its course. I used to think, I've wondered, and I've thought how cool it would be if maybe a day before the snatching away, or even an hour before the snatching away, we got, as a corporate body, some supernatural word of God. Now, as you know, nobody gets a word from God in a supernatural way like they did in the old days of the prophets. That era is gone, and I, of course, teach against anyone hearing a voice, hearing from God. All we need to know is in the scripture. But as the final months of Millennium 6 come along, we will see, especially in Israel, probably exclusively in Israel, an uptick in signs and wonders and miracles, because Israel will soon be back on the front burner, and we will see these things happening again. But in the meantime, it's not that way. But I wondered, wouldn't it be cool if it was that way just in the last hour, let's say, of our time here on this planet Earth, and everybody got this same word, and somehow it was communicated to us that 1 hour, you have 1 hour left. And then we call each other, like I'll call Manfred. I said, Manfred, did you hear that? Yeah, I was going to call you. And then we all call each other, like, did you hear? Yeah, I heard the same thing. Wouldn't that be cool? What would you do if you found out you only had an hour left on this planet before you're made immortal? I would order a large pizza and eat the whole thing. Yeah, that's what I would do. That's how spiritual I am. But as I ruminate maturely upon this theme, I think it's more likely that we will feel like we feel every day. Like crap. Yeah, like crap. Because it's the contrast principle. Right to the end, it's the freaking contrast principle. And the deliverance will be heightened by the crappy feeling just before the deliverance. Have I noted that this is Martin Zender and you're at MZTV? We're at the end of the week. All right, let's roll. But I don't want you to worry about that, because it's not going to be much longer. And I will give you, in case you haven't heard it in a while, the number one reason why I believe that unmistakably we are in the final, I'll even say months, of Millennium 6. As far as we're concerned, we're in the several years of Millennium 6 as far as the world is concerned, because the tribulation must come, and that's a 7-year time period. I don't believe it has started yet. In Daniel chapter 12, well, beginning in chapter 10, a celestial messenger has come to Daniel to give him the prophecy concerning the times of his people Israel, and what will be their lot at the end of the eon. And there's a remarkable statement in chapter 12 where the celestial messenger, after having given Daniel these prophetic words, says, but seal up the books, seal up the words until the end of the era, the end of the time, when, and I'm in verse 4 of Daniel 12, when many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There it is. That's the scriptural portion. The secular portion of this, which one can look at objectively in an historical context, is that, and I've said this before, but it's appropriate today, if you look at the history of the human race, from the time of Adam to the present. The knowledge, the mode of living, was basically unchanged from the time of Adam to the Industrial Revolution in the late 1700s, early 1800s. So you see this flat line for like 5,700 years. And up to the time of the late 1800s, people were traveling by the same mode Adam traveled. 5,700 years, people are still riding horses, still farming the way they used to, still writing letters the way they used to, still communicating generally the way they used to, living the way they used to. But something happened, and the line began at the Industrial Revolution to, as far as knowledge goes, as far as technology goes, as far as information goes. It's an uptick. But when you hit 1959, 1960, there's an incredible steep incline. I would call it a crash course. We're on a crash course that is, by any standard, unsustainable. People now, scientists, computer technologists, they're imagining horrific things. Geneticists. And as far as information and complexity of life and knowledge being increased, God has given human beings such transformative information, information that has transformed the entire culture of the world, that is increases exponentially every day. The amount of knowledge increases exponentially every day. God could have done this 5,700 years ago. Except for the withholding of knowledge, Adam could have invented the light bulb. Moses could have invented the internet. Abraham could have invented the Tesla. If God had granted that knowledge to those people at those times. But for 5,700 years, nope. But then all of a sudden now, there's this incredible flourishing of knowledge that has created the modern culture of technology, complexity, industrial daring do, nuclear daring do. The secrets of the atom were unveiled to humanity. The secrets of the genetic code. It's just incredible what has happened. And if you look objectively at any timeline of human history, we are at the time prophesied by Daniel, which began, you can argue, late 1700s, early 1800s, but especially since 1959, 1960. I got this information from a book called Margin. Can't remember who wrote that book, but the book is called Margin, and I recommend it to you. There's a series. It's about us not having cushion in our lives. We're always pressed up against the world, up against our compulsion to communicate. We're up against this social imperative to do more, be more. And this book is about building margin into your life, which seems illicit. It seems against the law. Am I really supposed to have leisure? Am I really supposed to have time to sit under a tree and think? It seems, like I said, it seems wrong because the whole world is rushing headlong toward oblivion. And I said at the beginning, I've said many times, the beginning of the end as was the invention of television. Since then, and that was in the, again, late 50s. And we've been on a crash course of oblivion, like I said, and it's very difficult to withstand the tide. And I've recommended for many years that we, as much as we're able, withstand the tide. But this is the way things are meant to go, and Daniel prophesied of it. So we're living in those times. So I tell you that to comfort you after what I said at the beginning of the show and what I am saying in the title of this show, that, well, I'm not actually saying it. I'm asking the question, how will we feel right before the snatching away? The answer is like crap. But you shouldn't be discouraged by that, because it's the status quo. It's God's big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. Speaking of the contrast principle, and so we should expect nothing else except to keep going with the slog until the day and the hour and the minute that the slog ends. Because this trauma of living in a world that's so anti-God and pro-religion, which is another way of saying anti-God. We are strangers here in a strange land, and it gets stranger and stranger every day. But all the prophets found themselves in a similar situation. Certainly, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived in a world of dummies. But even that world was far more intelligent than our world is today. No one, let no one be tricked into thinking that the advance of technology equals the advance of wisdom. It's just the opposite. We're becoming more technically capable and less wise. Many people have joked that with the advent of video games, kids have become great at hand-eye coordination. They can really hit those buttons and destroy those armies on the video games. But as far as wisdom, as far as an understanding of God, as far as spiritual or even emotional maturity, forget about it. Down the tubes. So you're really weird if you're a normal person today, if you're well-adjusted, if you're able to think anymore. My audience is certainly all of these things. I like to think I am as well. I feel old school. I mean, I really am old school. Anybody who remembers rotary phones is old school. Anybody who remembers writing letters and mailing them is old school. So those of you my age and above were definitely in that camp. But there are people over 100 years old that have seen amazing changes. So this is good news. And the technology, here is another thing. Speaking of the increase of knowledge, only now does the technology exist to enact many of the prophecies in the book of the unveiling. For instance, the mark of the beast, and no one can buy and sell without a mark on a global scale. On a global scale. We have the technology now for that. We all know about the chips, and we all know about being able to enter the inhabitants of the world into a data system to keep track of everyone. It's hideous. Expositors and those wondering about the prophecy and revelation concerning the whole world watching the two witnesses during the midpoint of the tribulation, the two witnesses who testify to the truth of God in the unveiling of Jesus Christ, that they are slain and their bodies lie in the street and the whole world watches them. How was that possible for the whole world to watch something at the same time? Well, that was impossible until as recently as the late 1950s, early 1960s. And I said this on one of the Revelation shows, that for the inhabitants of the world, being able to watch the two witnesses lying dead in the street has a flip side, and that is the whole world will also be able to see them rising from the dead. This will be the first time in human history when people raise from the dead on satellite television. That's the day we're living in. Notice what the prophecy in Daniel didn't say. It didn't say that wisdom would increase. But that knowledge would increase. And prefacing that was that people would be running to and fro. Running to and fro. Running here, running there. No anchor. A transient population that just wants a new thrill, just wants to get to another place because they're running away from themselves. People running to and fro, that's not a good thing. Why don't they just run to and stay to? Or why don't they run fro and stay fro? No, they run to and fro and back again like Forrest Gump running across the United States. Couldn't deal with his relationship with Jenny. Couldn't deal with Jenny rejecting him. And so I just decided to run. So he runs to the Santa Monica, turns around, runs back to the Atlantic Ocean, runs back just to escape thinking. And that's what people are doing today. They're moving here, they're moving there, but no matter where you are, you take yourself with you. We're living on a planet of people who are in denial of death, in denial of God. Even the religionists are in denial of God. They're looking for comfort really within themselves while pretending they're looking for comfort from God. But really, it all depends on their wisdom, their ability to seek God, their supposed ability to seek God, of which they have none, but they think they do because they're being lied to every day by their religions. But we, on the other hand, are strangers in a strange land because of this. We have been given true wisdom, true knowledge. You might be able to make the case that knowledge increasing, while I think the bulk of that revelation concerns just people being apprised of the secrets of electricity, the secrets of nuclear power, the secrets of binary principles that create computer technology, you might be able to make the case that knowledge increasing would include, and I think A.E. Nock mentioned this, knowledge of the prophecy of Daniel. God would give knowledge concerning the times of the end, concerning the final years of Millennium 6, and I think that may also be true. The only reason I think that's not the heart of the prophecy is because of what goes before it. People run to and fro. And knowledge will increase. So the knowledge that will increase, I believe, is commensurate with the people running to and fro, trying to escape themselves, trying to escape the inevitability of death. I think that that knowledge that accompanies that is not godly knowledge, but I'm not completely excluding it, because we find ourselves in the final years of Millennium 6 in an amazing position that even while we're in this world, it's become so complex, you can't even keep up with it. And the only way you can survive it is to unplug from it as often as you can. Even while we're in that world, we've been given knowledge, aeonian, knowledge belonging to aeonian life. And it's this that sustains us. So even as we feel like crap right before the snatching away, we are sustained. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm talking to you. And that's why I've been talking to you for 30 years to give you knowledge that all is yours, for one thing. All is yours. Delving into the details of that because we need it. We need this godly information. We need this spiritual wisdom in order to survive in these trying times. And these are the most trying times that have ever come upon the earth. And these times will be followed by even more trying times. But if you look at the tribulation, the most trying time that has ever happened upon the earth, it's still future, near future. Our Lord said the times that were so be so stressful that no one could survive them unless the times were shortened. That's a 7-year period. But that is illustrative of the exponential crash course we are on, that the final crushing of this world's systems, of this world's religion and politics, takes only 7 years. And in fact, that time is cut in half. It really takes only 3.5 years. That should give you some kind of clue of the incline, the decline incline that we have been on since the late 1700s, early 1800s, and for sure since 1959. So I comfort you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just because you're going to feel like crap right before the snatching away doesn't mean. In fact, it flies in the face of the fact that you are going to feel, I can't even imagine how amazed, awestruck, liberated we will feel at the moment, at the atomos, the Greek word, the unbroken, uncuttable period of time when we are changed, made immortal, at the same time joined with the dead in Christ who will rise first, and we meet the Lord in the air. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, they're not going to cover that on television. But we're never going to forget it.